Matthew, 24th chapter, 16th verse. We are dealing with callings. The title of this is The Four Phases of Our Callings, Part 2. Two, for those who don't know French. I don't know French, but I do know do. What? All cell phones must be turned off. Okay. Thanks for that reminder, Jess. You got your cell? Turn it off unless it's Jesus talking to you. Actually, it's Matthew 20, verse 16. Because I put my eyes on. Matthew 20, verse 16. Many are called, and few are chosen. We have been involved with 2 Peter. God is leading us in preparation for all the false prophets and false apostles that will be making their announcement shortly in the world. And we have been looking at the divine nature. God has put His very being into us. We have a supernatural DNA in us, so to speak. We are not these flesh and bone symbols here. We are spiritual people. Who I am is not who you see, but inside. And who I see is not who you are. It is the person in you. And so we've been talking about callings. And Peter says, make sure your election and callings are sure. We learned that election is what God does. He chooses us. He has elected us. Callings is what we respond to. God has a calling for each one of our lives. And I began to enlighten you to the four phases of our callings. Who can tell me what those three were? A general, yes. That is a person who has heard the call of God and has responded by faith to Jesus Christ. And they are now become a Christian. All of us, at one time or another, have responded to the call of God. And that is a general call. But we are to progress from that general call. We are not to stay there. And 90% of the church is there. They have stayed in this general call. And they have not understood that God has a calling, a special calling, which is phase two, in which we are to go and utilize our gifts and talents. Special calling. We are to progress from the general to a special calling. That special calling is when we find that God has given us gifts. We are to use those gifts. Joe is a mechanic. He has a gift of working on tires. I know that because I saw it with my own eyes. But that is a gift because not everyone can pull that tire off. Right? Some of us break the lugs or the studs, right? And those of us that have done that have gotten smarter. We call Joe. But that is a gift and callings, and it's recognizing that those special abilities that God has given to us are to be utilized for everyone else, not for ourselves, right? And when we have that special calling, it is where we begin to work out these things. We become one of two types of servants. And those were hirelings or bonds. The hireling was the servant of God who kept his rights, kept all his privileges to himself. Thereby, he did not operate from a heart of love for his master. And those who have progressed into their special callings maintain that mindset. And the mindset that God is looking for is those servants who are bond servants who want to stay and work and use their gifts and talents through love. Love of the Master and the love of the Master's people, which is our King, Lord Jesus Christ. And from there we go into a specific That's the other ocean on the other side, right? We got the Pacific. I thought that was the specific, and we have the Spalanic over here. And the reason, and where I get these from are, is out of Romans 1:1. Paul says that he's a bondslave. He has been given unto the gospel and called to be an apostle. And all these things are incremental developments of our call or our callings. And we must progress past those elements of staying general, okay? Because if we take it as like a employment type of thing, when we respond to a job, we don't know what our job is, right? So we generally come in and we fill out all the paperwork and we do all that stuff, but we're looking to do something more, right? Right? And even in the kingdom of God, we have that mindset, but we don't know exactly what we're to do. And I always tell everyone, do something. Even if it's wrong, you can repent, get it under the blood, and then move on. But you're doing something, right? And when you get into your special calling, that's where you find out what your tools are, and you start using this, you know. You know what a lug wrench is. You know what how to hook up battery cables. There is a right way and a wrong way, and I've done both. Okay? You know where to put the window washer solution and how much pressure is in the tires and all that. But you learn this. Right? And this is a preparation. And in the kingdom, this is the same thing. God is preparing His people for something. And have you ever wondered, God, why do you got me here? What is it I'm supposed to do, right? Well, this is your special calling. This is where you're supposed to find out what it is. This is where you come in and say, you know what, I really believe God wants me to serve over here. And you serve and you find out that's not exactly where you want to go. There's no shame in it. But you're looking to find out what it is that you do so that you can flow in it. And then when you get to your special calling and you work into your specific calling, all that training that you had now brings you into a place where you could either be a deacon, an elder, a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist, or whatever that God wants you to be. All this is your training process for your ultimate call or your specific call. But that is not your high call. Do you ever think about that? In Philippians 3:14, Paul says, I press towards the goal of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered what Paul was thinking? What he was talking about? What exactly is this high call? Well, no, Pastor, I'm still stuck in the general call. I mean, I never thought that where was anything more. I thought that you did all the work and, you know, you bossed everybody around. And, whoa. My job is to teach you how to do the ministry. Your job is to do the ministry. That's what the Bible says. If you're mad at me, get mad at God because He wrote it. And, you know, I'm just doing what He's told me to do. See, I haven't hit my high calling or the fullness of my high calling, although I am in my high calling, whether you realize it or not. La 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 la. Paul, an apostle, he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, the New Testament. He himself wrote 2/3 of it. And yet he didn't even consider that as part of his high calling. I like to give you an understanding as to this high calling with a little illustration of a story. And this story was this guy was driving down the road and he saw that this construction site going on and they were erecting a building and he saw these three guys digging. So he pulls his car off to the side and he walks up to the first guy and he goes, tell me, what are you digging? First guy says, I'm digging a ditch. Oh, okay. Then he goes down a little bit further and he walks to the next guy and he says, tell me, what are you digging? Second guy says, I'm laying the foundation for a building. He comes up to the third person and he says, what are you building? What are you digging here? You know, a ditch, a foundation? What are you? And the guy says, I'm building a cathedral. Can you see how this is tied into your callings? It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of vision. And we have been talking about vision. We have been talking about perspective. We have been talking about, you know, that we're not just to be pew sitters. We're not to be, had a feel good gospel. We are to be workers, soldiers, doing the first works that God has called us to do. And that is to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature, utilizing our gifts and talents to build each other up and expand his kingdom on earth until he comes, right? Whether you realize it or not, I just preached the gospel to you. I just did. And the fact of it is that because we are stuck in a general mindset, we don't see ourselves any further than where we are. We don't feel that we have any value. Just like the first person, he looks at it and he's just digging a ditch. It's all he's doing. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mom. No, you're not. You are not just that. You are called by God. And you are serving in that capacity because that is an anointed capacity that God has called you to. And all your training is for something even greater, but at this point, you are working within your calling. A special calling. Towards a specific calling. Well, what could that be, Pastor? Well, it could be, you know, you're training young moms who have kids out of wedlock or are divorced or whatever, and trying to help them young moms understand that God has a plan and a purpose, and this is how you go about doing it. Moving into a specific calling. But what is this high calling? What is it that this third guy saw? He saw that even at the ground level, what he was doing and building, he was building something far greater than where he was at. He saw the end of the construction. He wasn't really concerned about how he was beginning. And you see, what happens to the Christian is we don't see the end. We don't want to ask God what the end is. We don't want to see what it looks like. And if you look at Revelations, John saw a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. As he was being boiled in oil on the island of Patmos. Do you think that deterred Paul or John or James from them fulfilling their high call in God? You see, until you get God's perspective, you will stay in your general because there's nothing required of you. To your shame, because God requires you to grow up. And that's what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about growing up in Jesus Christ, becoming all that you can be in Jesus Christ. But what is this high calling? What is it that impressed upon Paul so much that he was going to do anything and everything to attain this? Not that he said that he attained it, but he was going to press on till he did attain it. And I want to encourage you, church, to press on. Where you are today, next year you will not be. If you press in. I can guarantee that. Your discomfort and pain that you're witnessing right now will be but a lost memory next year. Because that's a promise of God. If you press into Him, press in and do what He wants you to do. To understand what this high calling is to understand that it's different for every individual, but yet it's the same. How can that be? How can my high calling be different from yours, but yet still be the same high calling? Because its origin comes from the same source, God. Turn to John 14. Jesus said something that is so profound, I think we just skim over it so much that we don't realize that he was telling us the gist of what the Christian life was supposed to look like. Jesus 14, starting in verse 6. Jesus. John 14, excuse me. Edit that. No, it'll be on the internet. You know, I don't want them hearing my flub. I'll be on a MySpace, you know, or whatever. Yeah. John 14, verses 6 through 14. Jesus said to him, now who's he talking to? He's talking to Philip, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Kind of odd, right? And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for me. Show me this God. Show me this God, the Father. God, you know, Jesus, show me. And Jesus said to him, have I not been with you so long, yet you have not known me? And you ask me, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? That the words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe in me that the works I do, he will also do, and do greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What was Jesus saying here? What was he trying to get Philip to understand? And what is this high calling that each and every one of us has, but yet it's different for each and every person? Simply, it's to manifest the Father. Manifest God the Father in your life and in my life. What is the highest honor that we as earthlings can have in this world? Have children, right? And no greater burden and no greater joy comes than having children, right? But those who don't have children don't understand. And those who want children don't understand. Because it is a great burden, but yet it is a tremendous, exhilarating honor to have children. Are we not the children of God? Are we not to exhibit our Father to the world? What greater call is there? We spend a lifetime, 18 years and some longer, putting in things into our children's lives to teach them. Manners, etiquette, how to get dressed. I'm still learning because I mix and match a lot. Thank God for my wife. Proper clothing. Not to run outside without shoes on in the winter. Not to run outside with shoes on in the summer. We're learning all these things, and as parents, we're teaching them. Well, so is our Father in heaven. He's trying to get us to understand that, you know what, staying in the general calling is not bringing glory and honor to him. All that is placing us in the past the birthing canal, and we're out. Okay, we're out. But God wants something more for us. He wants us to glorify him. And Jesus said, you know, I've shown you the Father. How did Jesus show him the Father? He cared for his disciples. There was nothing that the disciples had need of. He took care of them. He showed them how to cast out demons. He showed them how to raise the dead. He showed them how to heal the sick. He showed them, because that's the Father's prerogative and privilege to his children that he has imparted into us today, because we're born again of the same Spirit, that we can cast out demons in his name, right? We can lay hands on the sick and they maybe recover, right? They will recover. Anything I ask Jesus according to his will, I shall have, right? So then what's the problem with the church manifesting God? Could it be that we're selfish and self-centered and we're stuck in G for general calling? We don't want to move to our special callings. We don't want to find out and experiment what our gifts and talents are, because God, he says, you know, too much is given, much is required. Right? Are we afraid of God? We should be, but we should not be afraid to utilize those things that he has given to us to express his love for everyone else. We need to move into our specific callings, to our highest calling, which is to be a spiritual father or mother to newborn believers. And Irene and I are fulfilling that before your eyes. You are our children that have been begotten in the gospel, as Paul so eloquently places. We care for you guys so much so that it rents our hearts when we have to bring discipline into your lives. But we know that if you listen, you will benefit. Thereby, you glorify our Father in heaven. You don't glorify us. And one day, I'm going to have the privilege of presenting you before God the Father. I am. Irene is. And we're going to give an account of your life, what we've put into you, how we've corrected you, and how we've brought you into a place. Are we going to be brought into an element of dishonor and shame for ourselves because you have not been willing to move into your calls? Or will we, which I believe, we will say, Lord, here's Nikki. Here's the daughter. This is what she has become, Lord, for your glory. There's Louine. Present her, God, before you. This is what she has become for your glory. Where are we going to go? Here's Gary. He was rebellious. He only wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to stay and do his own stuff. What are we going to be? And God is telling us to make our election sure. You see, if we are not progressing, do we have the divine nature in us at all? Because as Peter says in 2 Peter 1, he says that if we are adding these elements of faith, love, charity, patience, virtue, if we're adding these things in an increasing measure, then we know that we have the divine nature in us and we will escape the corruption of this world through lust. But if we are not, do we have the divine nature? Are we sure that we're Jesus Christ? I'm not saying that we are Jesus Christ. I'm saying, are we His? Only you can answer that. Only you can decide whether you want to be honored enough to grow up into your call and do the things that God has called you to do. My kids have seen the sacrifice of what it was to come from nothing. At age 30, I got saved. And I have been right ever since. Because I was totally wrong before then. Was the change instantaneous? Well, yeah, it happened real quick because I consecrated myself to God. I saw the life I was living and I didn't like the life I was living. I consecrated myself. I poured into the Word. I had the Word come into me. I had God speak to me. I had God stand before me. Not a dream, not a vision. Him standing before me. Those who are pure in heart shall see God. I got caught up into the third heaven. And God spoke what He was going to do in my life. I could either run from it, or I could embrace it. I embraced it. And everything that He has said has come to pass, not because of me, but because of His faithfulness to lead me step by step and my willingness to step from a general calling to a special calling to a specific calling to ultimately begin to live this high calling. It isn't speaking in front of millions of people. It isn't selling a bunch of books so I can get rich. It isn't any of that. It is seeing God's people grow up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is what's rewarding. And you guys know, if I was in it for the money, we'd have a total different ministry here. But it's about relationships. It's about people and their hearts and staying with those folks until they can finally get a hold of the simple truths that they start putting them together for themselves and start seeing that the plan of God is not arduous. What's the problem is we don't want to do it. And I know I'm the oddball. I know I'm the one that ran after God and continues to run after God. But that's my call. That may not be yours. But what is God calling you to? That's the question that only you can answer. What is it that He's calling you to that you're sitting back waiting for the doors to open up when they're already open to you? What is it that what kind of vision do you have for your life? Or don't you have vision? Or are we just those type of Bible people that go into every Bible study, run, write down a bunch of notes and say, I don't have to change. The body of Christ is filled with a bunch of dissatisfaction. For too long, the Church of Jesus Christ has been satisfied in living in subsistence, earning money to make a living, not living the experience of God. God has created us to live an exhilarating life. Do you believe that? He has. The reason why our lives aren't panning out the way that we want them to is because we're too busy wanting the things that God doesn't want us to have. And so we make decisions, we live our life in such a way that is contrary to what He says is to bring us life, peace, and joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And we have to come to understand that I am not your enemy. I am not your enemy. I've had to go through the same stuff. Only I was smart enough to zip through it so I didn't get burnt too bad. But some of us don't get it. Some of us think that God understands, and He does. He understands everything. He understands where we are. He understands our faults. He understands our needs. But He's not going to change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not changing. That means we have to change. I want to exhort you today, that wherever you are within these phases of your calling, I need you to begin to walk this out. I need you. Jesus Christ doesn't need anything. He chooses us. And because He chooses us, we need to see each other in a different perspective. I need your gifts and talents to be used. I need you to move from general to special to specific to your high call. I'm not saying do that all in one fell swoop, but get moving. Get moving. Use your gifts and talents. It's a sign of love. And in doing that, you're glorifying the Father. Thereby, other people will understand that you are disciples of Christ by the love you have one for another. And the one thing that we do have here, we have love. We truly love each other. Or else we wouldn't be here. Right, Karen? I praise God for your love for me. She loves me. She puts up with me. She straightens my wagon out. And then I have Irene on the other side, making sure that axle doesn't go under. But I want to exhort you. You guys know where you are. You know that God has been calling you to go deeper. And we've known since the beginning of this year, God has been saying that. The time of fun and games is just about over. The time to get to work, roll up your sleeves, and start doing something for the King, because He's coming. And I want us to be working in Father's field. I want us not to be slumbering and sleeping. I want us that when He comes, He sees us in there and He says, "Oh man, Joe, good and faithful servant, enter in, enter in." You too. Good and faithful servant. Wherever you're at. You can be a student and be a good and faithful servant. You can be an old fart like me and maybe become a good and faithful servant. But understand that God loves us and He doesn't want to see us just staying stagnant. And if you love God, and I believe you guys do, then begin to start opening up your hearts and start using your gifts and talents in a way that glorifies Him. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You make my blind eyes see. You help me to see the deep things and make them simple, Lord. And Father, I pray that Your people would receive the Word today. I pray that this seed that was planted, God, would find fertile soil and Your people will begin to move. That they would go into highways and byways, Father. And they would tell people what God is doing in their lives. Not to be ashamed and not braggadocious, but really to encourage them that they can have the same relationship as they have. But Father, we invite all peoples into Your home. That Your house would be full, Lord, and that You would be glorified by our praise and adoration for You. The only true and living God. The only God who has made a way of salvation, that all we have to do is receive it. God, You make it so simple. It's the easy button. Lord, as we go forth today, I pray that Your words would ring in our hearts and challenge us and say, "I'm going to move on with You, God. I don't know what it is that You have for me. You're going to reveal that for me in the future. But right now, I'm just going to open myself up to new things. And we'll see what You do with my life." So God, as we go forth into fellowship time, I ask that You bless Your people. Bless them richly, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.